Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Baby on the Brain, The Returners, a podcast brought to you by Stylist magazine, dedicated to the big life questions you face when you're a new parent navigating a return to work. My name is Fliss, I'm the digital content director at Stylist, and I've been finding my new normal, both at home and at work, since returning to my role last March. Every week I'm joined by a different co-host, and today I'd like to introduce Claire Lynch, author of Small on Motherhoods, published on paperback last year. She is also a university lecturer and a mother of three, and has spoken widely on her experiences of motherhood, including a four-thought talk titled The Other Mother, first broadcast on BBC Radio 4 in August 2020, which I'll admit I did find myself welling up to listening to in the height of the pandemic. Together, we're going to be discussing flexible working with a spotlight on new parents returning to work and managing life with a family in tow. It's just a small topic, Claire. Claire, thank you for joining. I wanted to start with some good news. So managers are, according to research undertaken this year, more positive about flexible work, more than they ever have been, apparently, with three quarters believing that it increases productivity and boosts motivation. But I wanted to very quickly say but there. 600 managers were surveyed and they were all less positive about some forms of flexible work. So while flexi time and home working have become the norm, elements that often benefit parents, like job shares, part-time work and compressed hours, are still falling out of favour in the world of work. So as someone who works part-time, I have no idea how I would work my life if I didn't have that privilege, I suppose. What did your return to work look like?
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, it's good news, I think, first of all, that there is more understanding about what flexible working can look like. I mean, for me, the return to work was interesting. My wife and I, we shared the parental leave. And I'm going to be really clear about this because sometimes people think it's a sort of weird two-mum bonus and you both get the same amount of maternity leave. But actually, it's something that all parents who work for companies that have shared parental leave policies can use. It's just that most people in the UK don't use it. So it meant that for all of our kids, she took the first 6 months, I took the second 6 months. And it was something that we both really wanted to do because it meant that we both got the pros and cons of it, and we both got the experience of the return to work. So we both got the kind of days at home covered in sick, when are you getting home, following the blue dot on the kind of phone. And we both got the how do you adapt back to work. And I would recommend that as a, for all sorts of reasons, partly because it gave the message to both of our employers that we were both, you know, in inverted commas, real full-time parents. So then we both had the kind of starting point to go back to work and say, you know, now we can kind of negotiate what that's going to look like when we go back to work. So we both went back full time, but at those kind of different points, if you like, in the in the babyhood. So I guess my first going back to work, you know, my wife was at home with the babies and they were small, and you know, I was going through life in a kind of sleep deprived trance, and you know, just not all the time, but occasionally having a little nap in my office before I got in the car to drive home and all of that stuff. And then when they were you know, going to nursery and that kind of going back to work happened, I will say it was really quite hard actually, because they were born prematurely and they were in the NICU for quite a while. That sort of feeling of leaving them was quite hard, and that sort of, you know, trying to be your work version of yourself and your home version, all of that was quite a transition. But the thing that I would love us to talk about as well today is all of that, how do you go back to work and carry on? But nursery, in a sense, is a little bit sorry to break this to you, Fliss, because I know this is bad news coming your way, really, but like, it's a little bit of a sort of false dawn, really, because nursery hours can work with full-time work hours.
Yeah.
Whereas suddenly when the kids start going to school, you would not believe how often it's half term. Like, it's honestly all the time, right? And so this kind of like, you get into the pattern of what days you're going into the office or what days you're working at home. And, you know, employers and schools have to have a kind of wiser conversation, basically, if they want people to manage. So I'm really interested in talking about that. What does that look like in terms of not some sort of really radical way of like rethinking work necessarily, but just a kind of realistic, lots of people have children,
yeah,
and lots of people have jobs, and this is how school works. It shouldn't be impossible to make that happen.
I agree. Every time I meet a woman who has a family, I am desperate to say to her, how does this work? But it's not the kind of question that I want to ask, because I would hate for everyone to ask me that as well, or just ask me that. That's not just who I am. But I'm so interested because I do worry about it. It's on the horizon. My daughter's not two yet, but I think about it.
Yeah.
Probably at least once a week.
Yeah, and there are, you know, it's a logistical conversation, isn't it? And it's important to think about that. What that means is people who are parents have very often done basically a whole day's work of getting people to put their goddamn shoes on before they kind of arrive at work and then kind of begin the day. So even that sort of sense of like, when does your day begin and what does it involve? And sometimes that, I think, is a really useful way to think of it, is that not everyone, and I'm really cautious to kind of talk too generally in the conversation today, because it depends on your job, it depends on the expectations of the job and shift patterns and all of that kind of stuff. But if you have an office job of some kind, there's usually ways to be flexible within it. When you start and when you finish, or when the kind of meeting parts of the day are, when the email parts of the day are, and that can be made to work. So I think that the kind of dull kind of administrative conversation sometimes helps you feel more comfortable about it.
I think I totally agree. But that works if your employer is friendly towards that. And I can only imagine the people who don't have that kind of flexibility or don't have support from their management. I don't know how I would make this work. I don't know how I would be a working mother if I didn't have the support of not only my family and friends, but also management at work with that flexibility.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a bit more today. I mean, I think the point is that it's not really acceptable for employers not to provide that level of flexibility. And I think the pressure is increasingly on them to recognise that. It comes from all parents making sure that they're taking advantage of that. That's part of it too.
Yeah.
And there is a bit of hope, I think, in saying that sometimes it takes one person in an organisation to prove that it's possible.
Absolutely.
For it to then filter down for everyone else. Because there are lots of reasons why people benefit from flexibility in their working. And actually, you know, usually we talk about parents, but it's not always parents. But starting that conversation normally kind of filters down to other people. So, you know, I think no one maybe wants to be that kind of trailblazer who's like, you know, I'm just not coming in until I've dropped everyone at school. But I think the evidence shows that most people who feel that their existence as a human is taken into consideration by the place that they work, they're more productive, they're, you know, more likely to stay in that company. All of those things add up.
So I've got one last question before we introduce our guest. And I just want to understand where your head was before you went back to work that first time. Because from my perspective, I've actually never worked in a place where I've seen a woman go on mat leave and then return to work, which is wild, I know. But so I had no idea what to look for, what to expect, or even, you know, it's not written down. You could do this. These are your options. I had no idea. So I was just talking to my NCT friends who are incredible, and we all just muddled through together. I have a mum's group on Facebook, on WhatsApp, sorry. And they're like my school friends, and some of them have 5-year-olds, and they were like, oh God, when I first went back, I did this. Don't do it. I just had to rely on like word of mouth, and that's wonderful. I can't, you know, I'm not putting that down. What did it look like for you?
I mean, I wish I could say something more organized, really, but I think muddling through is a little bit how it is because it changes all the time, you know, as your work changes, as your family changes, all of that's going to keep needing to shift a little bit. One thing I would say is that there is a little bit of hope. Even if you haven't got a model, you can think, okay, well, what model then am I going to create that other people can see? You know, because there'll be other colleagues. In my case, you know, I work at university. I want to think, what do I want the students here to think, you know, being a mum and being a professor looks like? You know, I don't want to pretend that that's not happening. I don't want to not kind of be a real person in front of them because they need to see that too. And the same thing goes for your kids, right? You'll be thinking a little bit also, I need to show my daughter what it's like to go to work. I want her to kind of have that as part of what she sees as well. So although all of the kind of working out is difficult and pretty much all the time you feel like you're slightly in the wrong place or have forgotten something slash left the gas on or that kind of feeling, you know, I think that settles down. I think it settles down and then, you know, the new version of it evolves. You know, I was saying to you earlier that I am living for the thought of September when at least all three of the kids will be dropped in the same location in the morning. Like, the morning won't get any easier necessarily, but at least it will be a sort of one drop situation and that will change things again.
And then when your eldest go to a different school.
Yeah, exactly. It will all fall apart. It will all fall apart again. Exactly.
So it feels like about the right time for us to bring in our guest. And when I was on maternity leave talking to my friends about returning to work, there was one name and one Instagram account that kept coming up time and time again. And that was Mother Pucker and her Flex Appeal campaign. So I'm thrilled to bring in our guest, Mother Pucker herself, Anna Whitehouse.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you want to do my PR?
I want to start by asking you, why you started the Flex Appeal, because when I was writing your intro, I was typing up your story and I thought, I can't do this justice. So could you explain why you started it?
Well, it started in a very human place of brokenness, I think, is the honesty. I was working at the L'Oreal Group and I didn't leave because I wasn't worth it. I want to be clear about that. And I have an extraordinary relationship with my boss there. So, you know, and we work with L'Oreal still. So it's not about lambasting. I want to make that very clear. But the L'Oreal Group was indicative of the blueprint of every other big global company where if we give you flexibility, we'll have to give it to others and it will open the floodgates to others seeking this flexible working. All I was asking for was to come in 15 minutes earlier and leave 15 minutes earlier. They got the same bang for their buck. And in that moment, when they couldn't afford me that flexibility, I shut down and I quit. You know, with nothing to go to at that point, but with a real focus on ensuring that my daughters never got to this point of 15 minutes coming between their mental health, their physical health, their relationship and work. And it was at that point that I thought, well, why can't we open the floodgates? You know, what are you so afraid of? And that was really where it began. And I say specifically, it was on the central line where a guy had sort of got his briefcase trapped in a tube door. And I was running, you know, running the gauntlet, like you were saying, to nursery, where, you know, your child's there with the Paw Patrol backpack on, big Bambi eyes, about to cry, and you're 15 minutes late. And then my nursery had to charge me £1 a minute after six. And I thought, do you know what? No, enough. I'm broken here, but actually I think it's the system that's broken.
Yeah, absolutely. And what year was that?
2015.
Right, okay, so we're talking, that's 8 years ago now.
8 years ago, yeah.
Has flexible working changed in that time? I ask, knowing it has.
Well, the irony is that I think if you look back to early March 2020, I was going company to company, knocking on doors, public sector, private sector, and was getting the same response from across the board. Love what you do. This equality thing is great. But it won't work for our industry. You know, it can't. 3 weeks later, I think it was the 23rd of March 2020, those companies that did not log on, Zoom in, simply had to shut down. And I think the interesting point here is what is indeed possible, the floodgates, we can indeed break down when cold, hard cash is at stake. So yes, it has changed, but I think we mentioned this before we even got on this podcast, that this blanket approach to flexibility now of working from home is flexible working. It's not. That's more damaging. Flexible working is simply two words. I don't even say flexible working anymore. It's inclusive working. Look at it like not an extra thing you have to do, you know, a HR pickle you have to untangle. Look at it as including as many people as possible at the table that will be good for your business. So yes, it's changed, but it's not going in the right direction, I would say.
That's so interesting, isn't it? Especially when you were saying about being, you were a trailblazer, but actually people didn't want that. They didn't want to afford one person that flexibility because actually they would have to apply it to everyone. It just seems mad, doesn't it?
Well, there was an amazing example, coming back to what you were saying earlier, about being that first person to break the norm. And I think anyone listening right now, you can be that person. You can support your manager to be that person. It was a guy called James Clary from Coutts Bank, who I met just as I began FlexAppeal. He's a father of three. And what he did specifically was sit his team down and give them 10 minutes each in one day and said, what is the rub in your day? And he looked them in the eye, and it could be anything from, I'd love to go and pick up my daughter from school instead of the wraparound childcare where she's exhausted at the end of the day on a Tuesday. Somebody else said, I've got a dog that gets a bit whingy when I get home a bit late. I'd love to be able to leave earlier. And what he did was he facilitated a little bit of flex on a human level. And he was described at Coutts Bank as going rogue. And actually productivity went up 30% within his department within 3 months because he led with, which is something Accenture is doing now, IQ. What is good for business, the intelligent approach, with EQ, emotional intelligence. How do I lead on a human level? You combine those two things and it's the perfect storm of productivity and success within business. But it's taken us to this point to put those two bits together.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm hearing is you just need to listen to people.
Yeah.
But I suppose the trouble is some people listening to this won't know what they want. And I know I was in that position this time last year. I had no idea what a return to work looked like. And I am currently part time. And that's really worked for me. And I work with a hybrid model. So I work 3 days a week at home and 1 day a week in the office. And that also really works for me. But how did you decide on your return to work what you wanted to do?
Can I just have a moment? Do we all struggle with the word part-time?
Yes.
It feels like something sort of part-asked or that you're kind of part-educated to do that job or part-driven. It feels really lackluster.
Yeah, agreed. And I think even when you're talking there, Fliss, as well, this idea that what you can sometimes do is just swap it for another inflexible form. Do you know what I mean? Where you're just like, these are the same problems, just over kind of 3.5 days or whatever it is. So, I mean, I think that kind of opening up and trying to work out what you need and then presenting that to your employer is often kind of much more useful. And I'm just interested, as we're talking, how often it comes down to actually just a question of trust.
Yeah.
You know, you will get the work, trusting your team will get the work done in the time they need to get it done. Exactly when in the day that happens doesn't usually matter. And I think I'd love to hear more kind of conversations about that, you know, because there's often this idea that, you know, asking to only be in the office on a Thursday. Well, actually, maybe sometimes you want to come in another day that week.
And it's all set up to be sort of this big bonus ball that you're asking for, almost like they're doing you a favor.
Yeah.
And actually what it is retention, staff retention, on a basic level. It's going to cost you a lot to get someone new. You've trained them up. And I think that's the bit that I get a lot of kickback on. People go, well, you know, we gave flexible working to our team. And then, you know, I don't know, Tina in accounts was watching Homes Under the Hammer in Undercrackers at midday. And God forbid, we weren't able to make it work. I'm like, well, can you just recruit the right people initially and then trust them?
Yeah.
So don't just like manically recruit, have a very good recruitment process. And then, like you said, trust them to do their job. And I think the terminology, like we said, part-time doesn't feel right. Flexible working feels like something a HR manager has to do. And to be fair to managers, it's a lot on their plate already. But actually inclusive working, instead of job sharing, my dad said to me the other day, job pairing. Why don't we look at it in a positive light? You're pairing two brilliant minds together. And often that company will get more rather than less. You often get two brilliant brains being able to tackle problems instead of one. So I think in terms of what I came back to, in terms of what I wanted, it wasn't there, which is why I set up FlexAppeal. I could not raise my two girls for the same blockade that I faced. It was that simple. It was primitive, it was maternal, it was visceral, it was no. Enough. I can't play this game because I'm then playing them into the same game. To work hard in their ABCs, their GCSEs, maybe A-levels, go to university, be told by me you can do anything, you can be anyone, and actually you get to that moment, that juncture of procreation. No, you can't. You know, the gender pay gap is there glaring in our faces. No, you can't. So the answer for me was to try and step back in the way that you have and say it needs to change fundamentally.
Yeah. Dare I bring up Jacinda Ardern? Can women have it all?
Oh my God, the BBC headline.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
I actually don't. I am gobsmacked. Well, I am astounded.
I've seen three things that have brought me out in sort of slight hives over the last few days, because you think we get like three steps forward and we're all nodding, and then it's 10 steps back. Yeah. Like Johnny Mercer, you know, the MP. Did you see what he posted yesterday?
Daddy daycare.
He'd put a picture of him in the office holding his son, perched very uncomfortably on his knee, so it doesn't look like a natural setup for parent to child. And he's there reclined on his, you know, I don't know, extraordinary sofa. And it just captioned daddy daycare. And I'm like, you're not doing your wife a favor here. This is baseline stuff. You're not babysitting your child. You're not, you know, part of this daycare system. Can you imagine if I did the equivalent? Mummy daycare today, every flipping day, 24/7. And I think the same with that BBC headline around Jacinda Ardern. It was just, God, are we still here where we're putting that upon female shoulders that we want to have it all? We'd never use that terminology around a man. And I've said it clearly, and to any woman listening right now, that no, it's not about having it all, but I am very doggedly determined to have my something. My children are my everything, always will be. They will come above everything else, as they should. But I want to retain, like you were saying earlier, my something, which is to write and be heard and broadcast. And when they're saying to me, oh, mummy, do you have to go to work? Yes, I do, because I love it.
Yeah.
And I fought hard for this, and I want you to do what you love and feel that if that is being a full-time parent, I say full-time parent, even that terminology is an issue, you know.
Yeah.
Parent, you want to parent and again stay at home. No parent stays at home regardless of what you're doing, but if that's your choice. But the point is, I think why we're sitting here is the choice isn't there at the moment. There's lots of PR puff pieces out there, but the choice is still not there to do what you want as a woman. And that's I think the juncture we've got to in 2023 with headlines like, can she have it all?
Yeah.
Can I swear?
Yeah.
Can she just fuck off? Can they just fuck off? The BBC, that is, not stylist.
Thank you. Great clarification.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
question. How would you suggest, and Claire, I don't know if you have thoughts on this, but how do you even start to talk about flexible working?
Do you mean with an employer, or do you mean, I mean, because I'm just struck as we're talking that one of the things that is really clear is that even if we're, you know, I completely agree with you, even if we're thinking of inclusive working rather than flexible working, inclusive working, if you are parenting with another adult, if there are two parents, also relies on that other person having inclusive working, because it doesn't work if they're stuck to a sort of 9-to-5 schedule and you're the one who's like, I'm so flexible, that means I can do all the pickups, hang on. You know, this isn't working. So, you know, I'd love to think about that. I feel a little bit like it is a weirdly useful kind of insight that we get, because we both get what kind of how women get treated, but we can both come home and be like, hang on a second. These fools, we know, like, it's not working. And so we have this kind of sense of what women are expected to do. We don't have this kind of gendered expectation about who has to do what, which means we just have to work out who's good at what, right? So I'm going to tell you now, I want a medal and a pat on the back every time I do swimming lessons, because that just brings out the worst version of me, right? But I know that when I'm sewing those badges on the beaver uniform, my wife is like, thank you for being a person who can do that, because I can't, right? So we're doing that exchange of roles. And I think it's actually kind of tough when I see friends who, when I see kind of mums and dads trying to work out, I really wish we could be more equal in this, but...
It's such a good point, because my sister married a woman and she said exactly the same thing. She said, there is no gender construct around who does what.
Yeah, no, so one takes the bins out. We just have to live with rubbish building up.
Yeah.
It's awful.
She said, it's just an absolute shit show. But she said exactly that there's no expectation of who brings the bacon home and who cooks the bacon. And that's still... like entrenched in.
I mean, are we getting on to equal pay here?
Oh, is this wow. Where we're getting? But I mean, it's just a way into it, because I think it sometimes allows, like, you know, friends around, allows other families to go, hang on a minute, what if we didn't have this thing controlling who is supposed to be doing the kind of traditional work and who's supposed to be doing a little bit, even if it's a little bit more of the parenting, or a little bit more, like, you know, lots of people
not
say,
daddy daycare.
Not daddy daycare, or like not, like, who's the person your kid's school would ring? Or the nursery would ring? Who do they ring first?
It is me.
Always it's the always the mother, right? So, like, we kind of mess them up because they're like, I don't know who to ring. You know, so that kind of, that helps, because if you can have those conversations in your relationship and also say, do you know what, actually it's kind of a pain in the ass to be the person they always ring.
Yeah.
And if I'm in meetings, I need you today to be the person they ring.
Even right? Having that conversation is annoying though, because right. The weight of having to be like, I'm going to organise your day today, Aaron, and you're going to have to pick up the phone.
Oh, right.
Just call him anyway. Sorry. I interjected, but I totally agree.
But you know, it's that kind of the kind of inclusive working as a parent and the inclusive working in your job. They both need to be happening for it to work on both of those fronts, right? Otherwise, it doesn't
make
any sense.
That's a big weight as well, though, isn't it? Trying to not only inclusively parent and inclusively work, but getting them to work together. It must be trial and error. Have you tried things? Because obviously, Anna, you wanted something and they wouldn't give it to you. And so you are a trailblazer. You were like, well, fuck you. I'm going to go and...
I mean, I'm ironically really burnt out and not working flexibly at all. That's the irony. When you go and set up on your own, you go, right, this will be the dream. Oh, no, that's not the utopia.
The HR manager isn't helping you in your
my
company.
My 9-year-old who said, I said I was coming to this podcast today. And she said, I've had a really good idea for a podcast. This is before I left. And she said, I think you should do I love my kids, but
oh, I mean, wow. I would. Can I be invited onto that?
Yes.
I love my child, but and there are many things I could
withdraw the knife from your heart as I go into school. Yeah, have a lovely day, Mum.
It's true.
So yeah, Claire, did you what you tried after you first went back after the first bit of parental leave? Is it still the same now? That's what I'm interested in. Or did you try something, it didn't work, and you thought, I'll try something new?
No, I don't think it's ever the same. And again, I just feel like I also need to make sure there's not sort of an idea of utopian, you know, same-sex marriage. We're like, we just, everything is equal and fine. We're always fighting over whose meeting is the most important.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
So when we were first arranging this podcast for another day, for example, I looked in the diary and I was like, she's in a meeting in another country. And I was like, for God's sake, right? Like the chances of us both having a thing we really need to do at the same time, how are we going to, you know, negotiate it? So it's always that. But that's what you have to do, right? You have to kind of work out fine, right? You'll have to, you know, you get to go to that meeting because you put it in the diary first. Damn it. But, you know, next time when I say a thing I'm going to do, you need to be home early to pick it up. And I think it's tiring, you're right. But as long as the expectation is that you are both doing it, then it does kind of, you know, it has to work like that, doesn't it? Otherwise, you know.
And do you feel like your work has been as flexible as well? So you've been allowed that flexibility within work?
I think so. I mean, I'm aware that there is a kind of, lots of my work can be flexible, which helps, but then there are other bits that can't, right? I can't just say, I'm just not going to be at this lecture, guys. Oh, right, I'm giving the lecture. Sorry, yeah, it's at that time. I better be there as well. But, you know, there are other times when, I think it's the kind of soft power stuff I'm really interested in. So evening kind of events or conferences that are like a week away from your family. How do you keep that kind of stuff up to kind of keep, you know, involved in your industry in a sort of bigger way than just doing your job?
The networking
stuff, all of that. That's really hard. And that's kind of also about kind of negotiating, you know, and sometimes that's hard. Sometimes you feel like, actually, I don't really want to go away for a week. But I know that I need to. So all of that kind of tension, I don't think it goes away.
Well, some people have said with Zoom, even though we're all Zoomed out, what has actually been quite healthy is that really awkward moment before getting on Zoom where everyone's just hanging around is an opportunity to level the playing field a little bit, because even if you're a bit uncomfortable in that space, it's putting everybody who works on that team together in not a social setting, but in a bit of a free setting in a way that when, let's say, historically women mainly left to pick up children and the guys went down to the pub and then networked and then suddenly you see them flying through the promotion ranks. By Zoom somehow broke down that exclusive, I would say, boys club that would happen on a Friday afternoon. So, you know, there's lots of little things that we're finding uncomfortable and awkward, but actually are actually great in terms of leveling that playing field.
I think just if we have time, networking is a really interesting conversation to have in terms of flexible working, because flexible working or inclusive working is about your office hours, right? But what about everything else you do to get your career to where you want it to be? Because I don't network per se during the day. I say at 11:20 speaking to two incredible women. But how would you suggest to someone who is listening to this, thinking that they're going to go back to work maybe next year or later this year, and they're worried that they're going to miss out on key parts of their career that aren't included in that compressed hour, those compressed hours during the day, everything that they used to do, the FOMO, I suppose, but in terms of their career?
Well, I think one of the things that has really helped, we've been working with a number of companies in terms of the buddy system, right? So, you know, and that's for men and women, and to really try and banish women's networks in favour of parent networks. You know, I think, again, that terminology of it's just specific to one gender, the problem. Well, then you get loads of women in a room trying to fix a problem. They know it's an issue, and the people that need to be listening to it are out of the room, which is often the guy that's at the top, you know, the puppeteer. So I think it's finding, instead, we were set up in the 9-to-5 system to be against each other. You know, if you were in at 9:01 a.m., you were a bad employee because you came in late. If you were in at 8:59 a.m., good employee, you're pitted against each other. I think that needs to be broken down, coming back to that EQ at Accenture, and find your buddy internally. And you can almost job share those networking opportunities. I'll go to this one, because you do have to do a certain amount of that in certain jobs. You know, I don't think you can say, I can't do that per se, and I enjoy it. And I think there's also, what do you enjoy in that? And much like you and your wife are saying, I'm good at the beaver costumes, outfits.
Uniforms. I mean, let's be fair.
I'm obviously not a beaver mom. I'm more of a momager.
That's going to be honest.
They're in stage school. But I think, yeah, that ability to sort of break that down really is kind of the way forward.
I've got one last question for you. What is the best advice you've ever been given on flexible working? And what is the worst?
So I think the best advice has been to not think that your voice is irrelevant associated with your position. So I think a lot of people think, well, how can I be heard in this? And actually one of the most powerful examples of that was at HSBC. And there was a woman who was quite far down the ladder, and she thought, we've got to do this differently. So she went to HR and she said, can I pitch in a podcast that we have internally? We get brilliant guests to talk about how flexible working works, the nuance of it, not just, oh, let's wait for, you know, government to change the legislation and then we all have to follow suit. How do we do it now? How do we get ahead of the curve? And I came in and she interviewed me and I asked her how she got that position. And she said, oh, I just asked. I'm not saying everybody needs to launch their own podcast internally, but I do think if you feel things need to change and there's excitement in changing things for those who come after you, your voice is relevant. You know, often HR is just drowning. Managers are inundated. If we're talking about EQ, it's two-way. It's a relationship. It is not simply going in, like I did, to be honest, crying at breaking point, demanding everything. It's two-way. And I think if you go into it, the worst advice I had was that actually quite abrasive approach. Well, you know, for equality, you need to give this to me. It's a relationship. Think of it as that. Your manager is going through stuff you can't even imagine. You are going through stuff he or she can't even imagine. Try and join those dots in a way that's good for business, I would say. And yes, launch a podcast internally in your spare time. Probably the worst advice I could ever give. But I do think it was astonishing that somebody had sought outside of that and thought, my voice is relevant here.
Yeah. Claire, did you have anything you wanted to ask Anna?
Yeah, I think I just wanted to say that it's important that people feel that they don't have to stop feeling ambitious or stop caring about their career, or that you're somehow, like, you know, being a shit mother because you also still want to get promoted or want to carry on at work. But I think if people can let themselves, however cringy it is, to think of things that you're doing at work can also be because you're a parent, not in spite of being a parent. You know, so, you know, I once saw somebody that really kind of changed my perspective where they'd written in their promotion application, look, I've written all these books and I've done all this stuff and I've got like all these young kids. Basically kind of call their bluff and say, if this is not what you want from a person who's working here, what is it that you want then? You know?
That's such a good point.
And if you can kind of own that a little bit and then saying that also to your younger colleagues or to other people and saying, like, you know, the skills I get from this are not just... I mean, to be clear, I don't mean the sewing on the beaver badges, but the kind of, you know, the getting stuff done on time.
Or negotiation
the
skills.
The negotiation skills.
Well, LinkedIn has only just put parent as a job title on their jobs boards.
Wow.
But my question is, that's, again, a utopian vision that I could go in and own my parenthood. The reality is the playing field is so wonky and you don't know the discrimination that happens in that moment where you say, I'm a parent, and they say, get out of here.
Yeah.
It's like I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. You're a parent, get out of here. And that's the bit that's really hard, is that I agree with you and I lead with my skills as a parent, but there's still these archaic dinosaurs at the helm, Lord Sugar, Sir Dyson. You know, we are looking at the heads of these big businesses who are not just quietly discriminating, publicly discriminating against specifically women, saying, no, you can't sit with us. You can't work here ultimately because you all have to be bums on seats. And we know that at the moment, that's not how it works. More women work part-time because the burden of childcare is on female shoulders. Gender pay gap means that men tend to earn more. So when you look at who steps back a bit in the household, it's still going to be women. And I think that's the issue we're facing right now. And this isn't some ridiculous attempt to promote what I'm doing, but we got so hacked off with that silent discrimination where, yes, there should be a place where I'm a parent, these are my skills. But the reality is you're likely to be pushed out. Mm. And as the way things sit right now. So we launched Work Your Way, which was inspired by a job set up at Whitehall. I went in to visit them one day, like rallying cries of change the legislation. And I said, well, what's this? He had an app on his phone. He said, oh, that's how we work out our flexibility at Whitehall. And it's like Tinder for flex. So you can have a job come up and you can see it's open to job shares, it's open to this, that and the other. You then say, I'd love to do 2 days, someone else looking for 3 days. You meet in the canteen at Whitehall. You then pitch yourselves together, if you feel you've got on well, to the manager, taking away the stress of the manager. So we've basically taken that concept and we're trying to make it global to rival LinkedIn, to really put flex front and center in every job, regardless of whether you're a parent or not, that you can have that Rolodex almost of Rolodex. God, I'm about 90 years old.
Sorry,
Jesus Christ. You can have that, you know, almost ingredients list of flexibility, job share, compressed hours. Do you want to work, you know, away for 3 weeks here or there? And it's called, yeah, Work Your Way. And it's Tinder for flex, ultimately. And it's been launched to bypass the clunking, great, like archaic voices of the Sugars, of the Dysons, of the Rees-Moggs of this world, who are ultimately saying, you can't sit with us in 2023 after having gone through a pandemic where we ultimately all zoomed in and made it work.
Isn't Anna the utmost professional? I could literally listen to her talking about flexible working
Amazing.
For hours. I think because she fights for it and she fought for what she's got and what for what everyone else, for what I've got, yep. I have her to thank for that. I'm so grateful. I don't know what my key takeaway is. Have you got a key takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's incredible and she makes such good points about remembering that, yes, there's a kind of ideal sort of scenario where you go and kind of demand the things that you want, or you kind of, you know, professionally and politely ask for the things you want. But that's not true for everybody. It's not true if your manager isn't receptive to that, or the organization you work for is not kind of keeping up to that. And I think she's reminding people of what that challenge looks like. Like, do you keep working in a place that isn't, you know, accommodating? She made that decision. She described that to us. And I think people have got to really think about what they do with that information. You know, how do you work through and like make your life work, basically. Yeah. How do you make your life work as a whole? And I think I was really interested about that balance. And I think you can't have that flexibility, it seems like, in your working life if you haven't also got it in the family life. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that is absolutely what I would take from this, is that the flexibility and inclusivity isn't just at work, and they're not the conversations that you have in silo. You have to have a conversation about what your work life looks like with your partner, if you have one, and whoever's helping you in your household, so you can work it out together, right?
Yeah, and it sounds really obvious, doesn't it? But if you're going to be making those really sort of precise requests for, I want to pick up from school on such and such a days, it does matter to also be talking to the other person or the other people in your life, if there are grandparents or childminders who are picking up. You know, it obviously needs to happen together. I'm going to say something a bit weird now, so I'm just, you know, a warning. Did you ever work behind a bar at any time?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so remember, if you're a good bar person, this is a kind of code we have in our house. So if you're a good bar person, when you're finishing your shift, right, perhaps you remember this, you slice the lemon for the person who's taken over next.
Right, nice.
You know? Right, you leave that ready for the person so that when they come on shift, they're ready for the ice and slice, right? So this is the thing we always are saying in our house. If you leave things unfinished for the next person, you know, let's say you leave the swimming kit to rot in the bag, then the next person has to, you know, the other parent, you're like, you,
swimming costume.
You have not sliced the lemon, right? Or you hand over the changing bag and you've left some kind of vest in it where there's been like an explosion and you've just left that for the other person, not slicing the lemon.
Yeah.
Right? And I think all of this managing work and parenting is so much about, if you're co-parenting, how much are you doing that with the other person?
Yeah.
so that it's not taking over too much work time, right? So if you want to only work on certain days of the week, if you need to be on call at certain times, if you need to be completely, you know, in the office on Wednesdays, you need the other person.
Yeah, you're totally right.
To actually, be, you know, doing the reverse, right? Even, otherwise it doesn't work.
Even today, so today is my second day on the trot in London and I've commuted both days. And actually my husband texted me this morning and just said, thank you for laying out the clothes. Because this morning when
I sliced the lemon.
I went and, right, but okay. That is more because I don't want her to wear her best clothes being absolutely destroyed by the paint that they're going to put out that seems to be like indelible ink.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I've never thought of that. I sliced the lemon. And do you know what? I appreciate it so much when he slices the lemon for me.
You see? We've made a thing now. That's going to be
a thing. We have made a thing.
Yeah. But it's, you know, that I think that's how it balances, right? Is that you can now, you know, you've not got that sort of concern while you're here at work. You're getting on with your day. And then, you know, like the reverse will also be true, right? You know?
Yeah.
When it's his day to be in the office, you know, he'll know you've got that covered and that's how it balances. But I think, yeah, that little bit of just reality is good for all of us, really.
That is such a good analogy. Thank you.
I mean, I wasn't a very good bar person, but I did at least do that.
Well, that's all for this episode of Baby on the Brain, The Returners. A special thank you to my co-host Claire Lynch and our guest Anna Whitehouse. You can tweet us at Stylist Magazine, find us on Instagram and use the hashtag StylistBabyOnTheBrain. Next week, I'm joined by stylist editor-in-chief Lisa Smazarski and my colleagues, Alex Walker and Natasha Gandotra, to talk more about how they returned to work and the challenges and joys they faced. Remember to subscribe, share and leave us a review on the App Store.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.